For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time to bring in Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland as the Dogs get set to take on Kentucky this weekend. Scott, good morning. How are you today?
Doing great. Good morning, guys.
It's a great day. Looks like it's going to be a lot of sunshine, although we got to wait one more day to get this Kentucky series going. Congrats on the win over Clemson. That was a lot of fun on Tuesday.
Yeah, it was. We knew it was going to be a tough venue, tough atmosphere going on the road. But playing at a so-called neutral site, they did a great job in their ticket office of selling out all of the tickets to their alumni and to their boosters and to all their fans before it went open to the general public. So it was 95% Clemson folks there, and I thought we went out and played really, really well in that atmosphere.
So what was the ticket distribution supposed to be for that game?
Well, it was their home game.
Yeah.
So they treated it like their home game, but they really advertised it heavy in that area that, hey, these tickets are going on sale right now at a certain time. So they kind of gave everybody a heads up, and they sold out the first day. So those tickets were gone immediately. And, you know, they did what we would have done. If we were going to do that, we're going to have a neutral site game, but we were controlling the ticket distribution, we would have done the same thing. So I don't blame it at all. It was their home game that they took away from their campus to go play in North Augusta to open up that new stadium. But since they were the home team, they had the tickets, and they did a great job with it.
I thought it was sweet sticking it to them in front of all their fans. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Well, we played really well, no question.
and it was a come-from-behind win in a big inning, the five-run inning there with Curry's home run. It had been like seven games since we had homered. I know that's not the only way to score, but is that something that you were thinking about as far as do we need a little bit more pop or finding ways to score? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no question. We had a lot of runs scored early on with the home run with Keegan and Michael and Cam Shepard has come along. I was really encouraged by the at-bats that he had on Tuesday. I thought he hit the ball really hard. So I think they're going to start coming for him. But yeah, Michael, I told Michael right before the game, I said, hey, Michael, how about you just be Michael Curry today? And he kind of looked at me and goes, what's that mean? I go, hit a bomb. And he kind of had a laugh about it. And he hit that one a long way. And then having Keegan out of the lineup certainly was tough for that. But we need to start getting some balls to go on the other side of the fence, and it's an easier way to score some runs for sure.
Coach, you guys still have a very tough schedule in front of you for the rest of the season, and, you know, we can sit here and speculate. Speculation and looking ahead is for fans and the media, and there are various things out there forecasting what you guys could possibly do in the postseason in terms of where you might be or, you know, the NCAAs and things like that. And like I said, us sitting here, we can talk about that. But how do you keep the team kind of focused on that, you know, just that one game at a time mentality?
Well, just looking at our opponent, when we prepared for Clemson, we're playing the number six team in the country on the road. You can't look ahead of anybody, and Kentucky's, I think, number 11 right now, and offensively as good as any team that we'll face. So, you know, you can wake up really quick from the dream when you think about the team that you're going to play next. And our schedule's like that every single weekend, and every single midweek game is going to be really difficult. So it's easy not to look ahead when you've got something right in front of you, like a Kentucky, and next week we got Clemson again, and then Ole Miss. I mean, so it's one after the other. It's going to be really, really tough. So you can't get too far ahead of yourself. We do acknowledge the fact with the rankings and the RPI, and they understand that stuff. You can't hide it. We talk about it, but we also talk about making sure that you handle it the right way, and it doesn't really mean anything until the season's over. So you address it, you talk about it, but then you really prepare for your next opponent.
And it's not as much as you know, I won't say embrace it, but I mean, you sign these guys to be in this position. So, I mean, that's what they're here for, right? I mean, they know that.
Yeah, no, that's what we told him. We said, you came here for this. So it shouldn't be a shock to you. We felt like we would be a really good team this year with everybody that we had back and the experience and the depth that we had. We felt like we would be good. So we're not surprised that we're in this spot. It's nice to be in this position, no question. But yeah, that's why they came to Georgia. That's why they wanted to play in this conference and to play our schedule. So our guys aren't shocked, and I think they're handling it really well so far.
Coach, the bullpen Tuesday night was really, really good. And I thought that it was interesting. I like the way you guys pitched to Seth Beer. And what really killed Clemson on Tuesday was the guy in front of him, Davidson, and the guy behind him, Williams. They had six strikeouts. So you guys pitched Beer well. He did get a base hit going the other way. But it was great pitching all the way around there against their lineup. And, again, your bullpen was fantastic on Tuesday.
Yeah, I thought Coach Kenny did a great job of kind of maneuvering through that game. And we had planned it out to try to get through five with Tony Losey and Kevin Smith, and we did that. And the middle inning, that sixth inning, was the one that we said we got to find a way to get three outs in that sixth to get to Kristofak and to Shunk. So we had Blake Cairns, we had Adam Goodman, and Will Proctor. All three of those guys were designated to pitch the sixth inning. If we needed to use three guys, we were going to do it. Blake Cairns got two outs. And then Adam Goodman, the role that we want him to take. And, you know, quite frankly, he's been very good all year except for one outing. And in that Charleston Southern game, everybody had a bad outing. So you can throw that one out the door. And, you know, we had an open base. We had Cromwell up, a left-handed hitter. We gave the ball to Adam Goodman. And that's what I told him when he came out. I said, hey, you got this one hitter. You got this lefty. Go get him. And I don't think I use exactly that language, but kind of pumped him up a little bit. You got this one hitter. Go get him. And he got him out in three pitches, and we got to the seventh and got to Kristofak. So it worked out exactly how we wanted it to work out, and our guys executed and did their jobs.
Yeah, and Coach, what is it about Aaron Shunk that makes him so effective? I mean, he throws strikes. He's not the hardest thrower, though, but what is it about him that makes him so effective as a closer?
Well, that slider that he throws, it's 82 to 85. It's more like a cutter. And it just kind of disappears from the bat. It looks like a fastball coming in. It's really tight spin. Hitters don't see it. You know, when our hitters hit against him in inter squad, lots of swings and misses on that slider. It looks like a fastball. So you start to gear up, you get a little bit quick with it, and then it disappears from your bat. But it is 89 to 91 miles an hour, so it's not like you can sit back and wait on that slider, because if you do, you know, Coach Kenny, that's what he's watching. He's watching tendencies. He's watching swings. And if he sees a guy kind of cheating and waiting, he's going to throw an inside fastball. And that's probably the biggest thing that Aaron has, is his command of his fastball. He can throw it in. He can throw it out. He can elevate it if he needs it to. So he can throw it where he wants to. That makes people respect it. And when you have to respect the fastball, that's when a slider and a changeup can get you. So 3-4 pitches for strikes at any time, and he hides it a little bit. And that's something that's tough to explain, but it just kind of jumps on you. You don't really see the ball very well as a hitter, and it gets on that hitter really fast. So it makes that hitter make a quick decision.
How much of that development has come with Coach Kenny coming in?
Well, he always got people out. When he was in high school and in summer ball, I mean, his summer coach told us when we recruited him, he said, hey, that guy's going to be your starting third baseman, but he'll be your best pitcher too. He said that right off the bat, and he may be right. He just finds a way to get people out. He's really competitive. And then, you know, just the things that you need in the middle of the diamond, he fields his position. He's a great athlete, and he can do all those things. So we knew coming in he was going to be very good. I don't know if I envisioned the numbers that he's putting up right now, but he's been awfully, awfully good.
Coach, you know, one guy that I've been keeping my eye on since he's moved to the bullpen, is Kevin Smith. And, you know, he gets the win against Clemson there in the midweek. I knew it was kind of going to be one of those whole staff type days. But, you know, honestly, with the emergence of some of your freshmen pitching, I mean, having Kevin Smith not only go to the bullpen and be that guy you can rely on there, but also the attitude in which he's approached that with it has been really good.
You could argue that he's our most valuable guy right now. And I think exactly what you just said right there, Sam, is the way he handled it. He was not happy when I sat him down in Charleston and said, this is the move that we are going to make. He was not pleased with that. He wanted to stay in the rotation. He was disappointed. He wanted another chance. And we just felt like it was best for our team at that time. And we felt like it could be best for him if he handled it right. And that was kind of the carrot we dangled was, hey, if you handle this right, you're going to be pitching in a lot more games. Your stuff's going to go up because you're not saving yourself for a marathon. You're running a sprint as a reliever. So your velocity is going to spike. Everything can go in a positive direction for you if you handle it right. And that's what we were concerned with, because if he was not happy, and it took him 24 hours to kind of take everything in, and then the next day he's pitching at the Citadel, and that was arguably our best game of the year, and he was lights out in that game, got the win, and then ever since then he has just been unbelievable out of that pen. So I think you could argue he's been our most valuable guy in our team.
Talking with Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland as the Dogs get set to host Kentucky this weekend. Coach, is the pitching rotation going to go back to the way you had it, or how are you looking? How are you looking at things this weekend?
Yeah, that's the plan. That gives Ryan Webb an extra 2 days of rest because he pitched on Friday last week, so we'll move him back to Sunday, and then Emerson can stay on Saturday. So normal rest, and really encouraging. I talked to Emerson at length on Tuesday when we were in the dugout. And just ask him about the weekend. You know, how'd you feel? And he goes, Coach, I didn't feel anything different. You know, that's probably the best I've felt. And, heck, you know, it was 35 degrees and it was snowing when the game started. So we were worried about that ankle tightening up on him. And he goes, Coach, I didn't even notice it, didn't even feel it. I don't feel a thing. So he's 100%. And I thought his stuff last Saturday was the best stuff that he had. Unfortunately, that pitch count just got run up a little bit there in a couple innings. But it was very encouraging to see the way that he pitched and the way that he's responded.
Coach, we always talk about the weather. So on that Sunday game that's supposed to start at noon, are we tied to TV on that one, or is there a chance that, because I know the weather looks terrible, what can you say about potentially what might happen this weekend with the games?
Well, the original thought was that we were going to be tied to TV because it is a national televised game at noon on the SEC Network. Talking with the league office yesterday, I was very encouraged with the language they sent back to me was our number one priority is to get the games in. So we'll look at it again today, most likely make the decision by tomorrow morning, but we do have a little bit of flexibility. We may end up playing a doubleheader on Saturday. The decision hasn't been made yet. But the league has given us that flexibility, which I was happy to hear that.
You know, it's funny. It's almost night and day. This is your fifth year in the conference. It's almost night and day, like, that the league is so much better about giving you flexibility on moving a game, even if it is tied to TV like that, which is nice. So you can get the games in.
Well, I think with the network now being, you know, what, 5 years old and just – kind of getting a feel for what they need to do, I think that they just understood they've got plenty of programming if we do get rain on Sunday, because if we're going to try to play it Sunday at noon and we get rained out anyway, they're not going to have anything on their network at all anyway. So I think they understand that. They've got programming to fill. So, I definitely think that there's more language, there's more conversations about moving things around. The flexibility's better.
By the way, Kentucky can hit. I know they got a little bit of an advantage in their park. They've always had that, so that's not different. But they can hit. So I'm looking forward to seeing how we pitch them this weekend. They got what, two guys with double digit homers and another guy with nine. So I know that's something you got to think about with them.
Yeah, they can really hit 1 through 9. They can really hit. So it's a tough lineup to maneuver through. And they've got quite a few of juniors and seniors in that lineup. Their rotation is very good. They've got some great arms out of the pen. They've had a little bit of a tough draw. They went to Arkansas to open up, and we all know what can happen at Arkansas. When it goes wrong in a hurry. And they just had one of those weekends at Arkansas, but they are really good. They can put up a lot of runs in a hurry. The most important thing is to not give them free passes. If they're going to hit home runs, they got to be solo home runs. And they're going to hit a few. There's no question that they've got a bunch of guys that can really swing it. But you know what? Pitching beats offense, in my opinion, any day. So if our guys are on, then we've got a chance to shut them down. And same thing goes for them. They've got very good pitching. And, heck, we could end up getting into a pitcher's duel instead of a slugfest.
Well, it seems like that happens a lot in baseball, and you're expecting a bunch of runs to be scored, and then all of a sudden it's 1-0 or 2-1. And I guess with Jelly, I mean, it could get into that kind of a situation. And Adkins seems like, a good matchup for them. I know that sounds kind of weird to say, but I kind of like that.
Yeah, no question. You know, he can throw that slider and change up at any time and keep him off balance. And you know, he had a good outing against them last year in really tough conditions. You remember we moved the game up last year and played in driving rain for 9 innings, and Chase Adkins pitched really well at their park with the wind blowing out. And, you know, it is a small park. So, you know, Chase has experience pitching against them. But, the guy that we're going to see on Friday night, if you've never seen a 7-footer pitch, come on out and see him. I mean, he's legitimately 6'11", and it's 93-94, SEC Pitcher of the Year last year, and has a chance to be a first-round pick this year. And he's a really good athlete, and that's the thing that's so crazy, is a kid that is that big and that tall is athletic and coordinated and fields his position, and he's something to watch. So he's going to be a tough challenge for us, and should be a lot of fun.
In general, do guys that are power hitters, home run hitters, would they rather face a guy throwing a 96-mile-an-hour fastball, or would they rather face a Chase Adkins? I mean, how do you look at that when you have matchups like that?
I would say if you ask a power hitter, they'd rather see that hard fastball. Now, when you're throwing 95, 96 and have an exploding slider, you don't want to see that guy.
Well, that's true.
But, the guy that you would rather face would be a power fastball guy that struggles with the command of the off speed. And, you know, a guy like Chase Adkins, when Chase is on, his fastball is going to be up to 90, 91. He can throw that in on your hands that you have to respect it, but that slider's really good and the changeup's really good as well. So, I think if you ask most of our hitters, they'd rather see that straight, hard fastball than a guy that's going to throw a bunch of stuff that wrinkles and curves.
Well, Coach, looking forward to the weekend. Again, congratulations on the win over Clemson. Another good RPI victory, and hopefully some conference wins coming up this weekend against the Batcats. So we'll see you over at Foley.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.